Mac Holmes pre-game interview.
Friday night football at Marvel Stadium. It is the Cats and the Saints for Bounce at 7:50. And we're here for APCO now toasting awesome jaffles at APCO Cafe 24-7. Tom King in the host chair, Ben Casanilia riding shotgun, Mark Neal in the expert chair, Pete Ryan from The Age in our journalist chair tonight. And we continue our wonderful series of I Played for Both thanks to Harmac Holmes. And we're lucky enough to be joined by a man who played for both clubs competing tonight. That's the whole idea of the format that we've unveiled in season 2021. And of course, you played 200 glorious games for the Cats and then finished off with a couple of seasons down at Moorabbin with the Saints. And they, well, people ask, who was Robert Neal? But if you say Scratcher, they'll know who he is. And he's been good enough to join us tonight on the line all the way from Queensland. Scratcher, Kingy with you. Great to be talking to you again and great to have you on K-Rock.
Yes, good evening and good evening to all the listeners.
Things have changed a little bit over the journey from the glue pot of Moorabbin that you played in the last couple of years of your career. Now would you have gone on a fast deck under the roof of Marvel Stadium?
Oh, look, I think I might have done okay. I had a little bit of running ability, so that might have got me across the line. But yeah, it's certainly a different game now with the stadiums and the ground surfaces. And, well, you know, last year being one of those exceptional years as well. So, yeah, I think I would have adjusted to it.
You came across from the Apple Isle. Tell us how you ended up at the Cats coming from Wynyard.
I was born and bred a Cat. I played with the Cats in Wynyard. They were the Cats, and I barracked for Geelong. I had pictures of Dennis Marshall and Polly Farmer and Alistair Lord and those sort of guys coming through from the Scanlon chewing gum card system, and I had them on hardboard nailed up on the wall or hanging off the wall in my room. So I was always a Geelong supporter and loved Geelong, and Billy Goggin was my idol, and that's how I ended up actually getting a hold of number 35.
So you come across and you debut round 15, 1974. It was against the Demons at Caninya Park. You were still 17, didn't have your licence yet. What are your memories of that first game now, rising 47 years?
Oh, my biggest memory was, I suppose, other than the excitement of getting a game and playing your first game and all, you know, which goes along with that, was being abused by Kevin Higgins. Actually, it was I got the first free kick or kick of the game because we had the diamond back then, and Carl Dittridge went for the ruck tap and knocked it out towards my wing, and I come in off the edge of the diamond, and he's cleaned me up, and I got a free kick and 15-metre penalty, and Kevin Higgins was telling me, make sure I go so far back off the mark so I didn't kick it into the man on the mark, and we lost the ball. But, yeah, it was certainly an exciting day down at Caninya Park.
Scratcher, Peter Ryan here. I just the listeners would be interested to how you got your nickname Scratcher, obviously potato farming background. Can you take us through that?
Yeah, sure, Pete. That's exactly right, being the son of a spud farmer, and you know, with the conditions up in the little town of Yolla, which is about 13 k's out of Wynyard. Dad and his brother share farm. They grew a lot of potatoes, and we used to get out when we could, you know, after school and weekends, and no cricket or football summer and winter, and we'd get out around the spud paddock and pick up the spuds in the mud and the slush and the dirt and the continuous rain. And of course, the grounds were wet, and the weather in Tassie was wet, and the grounds were muddy. So it was like you're actually digging, you know, putting your hand through the mud, squirting out potatoes to try and find them. It was the same trying to pick up the greasy football and do something constructive with it.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's a bit different to where we're sitting tonight with the roof over Marvel Stadium on a wet Melbourne day. They're wimps out here, aren't they?
Yeah. You've no idea what it's all about.
Scratcher, it's Ben Casanilia. Thanks for joining us on K-Rock Footy, the great number 35. Can you tell, in 1976, did you run a different rinse through the hair? Because you had 23 Brownlow votes, and that was the most of any year that you which you played in the catch. You got 73 Brownlow votes all up, but that year you got 23. Was it just sort of an extra rinse through the cranium?
No, wasn't that the year that both umpires gave votes? So that might have helped me out a fair bit there. So I think you cut that down in half, it brings it, what, to 12 and a half or something, 11 and a half. So
still not bad.
That's not a lot of votes. But no. The only time I ever had and it wasn't my fault, but I was told at one stage when I went to St Kilda that Trevor Barker and Mickey Roberts used to put bleach through the shower line, so that's why everyone at St Kilda were blonde.
Yeah. That wouldn't surprise us at all, Scratcher. I was just looking through some of the players you played with at Geelong, and there was some ratbags there. Who were a couple of the serial pests that you played with who you just love the hijinks and maybe didn't take themselves too seriously or their footy?
Oh, gee whiz. I suppose I was probably known as the biggest pest, but Andrew Buse in the finish, he was very hard to control with things. He was always, up and down and alive. Mark Jackson, of course, when he journeyed down the highway from St Kilda and Richmond. John Newman, of course, poor old Sam. He was, like a great player and a great guy, but he had his own ways about doing some things. And I remember he was asking one day in the rooms, Jared Fitzgerald from Mortlake was playing his first game full forward for us, and he was having a bit of a warm-up kick with us in the room, and Sammy turned around and said, "Oh dear," he said, who's this new trainer we've got here joining in with us here? What's his name?" And we had to say, "Nah, Sam, that's our full forward for the day. That's it, Oh, okay. So... yeah, they were there, and then, I suppose Paul Serra was a little bit like Pusey, just being the small man syndrome, being a live wire. You go through every group of new players that come through each year. You ended up with your Billy Brownlesses and your Ray Cards go through my era. Andy Preston from Echuca was also there. It's just one of those things, and footy clubs do that, don't they?
They do. You played in a position that sort of lend itself to a bit of the sort of the flamboyant side of footy. Who are the couple of the players who you really enjoyed playing against and always had great battles with across your 200 games at the Cats?
Probably the best one two of the best and two of the hardest was Wayne Schimmelbusch from North Melbourne and Stan Alves from Melbourne. Stan Alves was the type of guy that the ball could be 10 metres away and he wouldn't go for it. So you're sort of thinking, do I stay back on my man or do I go for the ball and try and get that possession? And I suppose your first thing of football is don't let your opposition get a kick or get the ball, because once they've got the ball, they're in control. So, and then all of a sudden you turn around and Stan Owls is 100 metres away over the other side of the ground, and that's where the ball ended up going across to him. He was just an unbelievable reader of the play. So he was very hard to play on. Wayne Schimmelbusch was, I suppose, a very similar style to myself. He had some pace, never stopped running all day. He would get in and get under and all these sort of things. So, you really had to be, the old saying of being a step ahead of your opponent. But they were two of that I come across. Mickey Turner always played on Robbie Flower and Keith Gregg from those two sides, Melbourne and North. Jeff Cunningham from St Kilda, when I finally went to St Kilda, we got on very well together. But he crossed the white line and he was playing football, and Joffa was really hard and strong and tough. He was one of those first guys, I'm 5'11", 5'10" and 3/4", and he's that 6'1" sort of size and a strong built guy. So it was hard for me to play on those type of players, so especially when the ball was in the air and that, if it was kicked low and long and you could run out wide and those sort of things. So I could adapt to him, but if it was one-on-one high, physical stuff, he was always a little bit too strong for me.
Great names there, Scratcher. I was just interested in how you and Mickey Turner worked out who would play on who and which wing you would play on, and also how many instructions you'd get from the coach. Was there any sort of thought to help out defensively or any of that stuff, or did you just chase the footy?
No, not really. We had Well, Mick was captain, so he played on the grandstand side. He had a social club wing all the time, and he had the Victorian players to play on. So if he played really, he'd get in the stateside again. But I just have to, I'd be on the Moorabool Street side grand outer where there was no one, and just the wind soft blowing if it actually stayed on the holder. It didn't worry me. I was there to play, and then we started this going different end lengths of the ground and cross sides and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, it was we were tagged out of the back pocket even at one stage. Myself and Neville Bruns off the wing. So it was certainly, wasn't the old footy days. Now, it's like now, there's no such thing as positions. Going back into, 74, 75 it might have even been, Graham Polly Farmer said, football, there won't be such a thing as positions down the track. It'll just be, 18 men out on the ground running around chasing the ball, and whoever's got the bigger and the better players kick the ball through the big sticks the most and will end up winning. And that's sort of how it's really gone over the years.
You played in 7 finals, Scratcher, but you played in the side bottom final in 1981. What are your memories of that day? Because it seems everybody else who's played in that side, and including Peter Johnston, who's a great mate of ours at Carrock Footy, have been canvassed on their thoughts on the day. What are your memories of Gary Sidebottom not being on that bus at Lara?
We got to sit and wait, and we waited, and nothing happened, and put everyone through, behind a little bit with, if you wanted ankles strapped or shoulders done or whatever your little idiosyncrasies were before a game. And then, when you get there and somebody's not playing and next minute they're running around in the room to try and get some gear together and get out on the ground, it just... it threw a lot of people out of sync themselves, but I suppose I just went along. The thing was, okay, we've got a game, we've got to play it, and I've got to do my job, and I've got to win the footy and kick it our way. That's there's 18 out there versus 18, so whether it was Jono or Sidebottom or me or you or whoever, you still got that job to do at hand.
You went to St Kilda. Tell us how you ended up at the Saints to round out your career after 200 in the hoops.
Oh, I think the Cats were running short of cash. They needed some money to buy Mark Fairstay from South Fremantle and get him over to Geelong itself. And they got rid of a lot of us at that stage. I think Shane Williams went to Footscray. Steve Carey might have gone to Footscray, somewhere like that. I think out of the 7 of us or 6 of us that were traded at the time, Murray Whitcomb was the only one that stayed because he... He had a farm and that out at Inverleigh, so he really couldn't just up and go to another club. But it was a little bit of a shock because you go by the coach and the assistant coaches and all these guys, and I had 4 out of 4 ring me that night to say that I was in the seniors at Geelong. I said, well, how come I'm not playing in the seniors? I didn't get a game. That was on the Thursday night. And then Friday morning, I got a phone call to attend the club. I had to go down to Geelong, and there was a bloke there from St Kilda by the name of Murray Ablett, who was, he was the very young Brian Cook of St Kilda back in those days, just coming through, starting out. He was down to have a meeting with Geelong and said, he was there and said, look, we will play you. You'll be playing on the wing on Saturday at Waverley. It was actually against Footscray because, obviously you're not getting a game at Geelong. And it was just one of those quick decisions because I still wanted to play. And even though I offered my services to play in the reserves and help the kids out, and because I think the under-19s, the reserves and the seniors were all going pretty well at that stage. And when you take out, some experienced players from the reserves as well as the seniors, it all fell away very quickly. And I'm not sure whether we all missed out on the finals that year or all Geelong, but yeah, it was just one of those snap decisions by the clubs. So I'm just putting it down to Mark Bairstow. The club needed a bit of finance to get him on the plane and get him over.
You're one of the rare players who got to play with Ablett Senior and Tony Lockett, and that year you were at St Kilda, where you had a wonderful season, you played a fair role in helping Plugger do his first 100.
Yeah, well, it was strange because of, you know, the guys you sort of play against. I didn't really know Tony Lockett at all, and that, you know, he's an up-and-coming player, and you sort of know of him, but you don't, like, we didn't mingle too much with St Kilda after a game. It was sort of, St Kilda would disappear pretty quickly from the old after-match pie and pasty and the
they
beer.
They had discos to get to, Scratcher.
Well, they had to go through the showers with the bleached lines first, I think, to get themselves prepared and dressed. But, yeah, they did. They had their, I don't even know what the name of it is. There was a big one at Caulfield, some, I think, at that stage. Tony was, he was a great guy when you finally got to the club. You know, it's like everything. You're part of his team and he's part of your team and you've got to be out there together. And, yeah, we had a couple of good fun years, as I said, with Joffa Cunningham and Greg Burns. Poor old Sputter Frawley, of course, Danny, you know, running around there as well. Big Stewie Lowe, little Nathan Burke was coming on the scene. You know, it was a change, really. But I thought Geelong were behind some of the other clubs in the AFL or VFL at the time with the way they did things. But they were well and truly ahead of St Kilda with planning and tactics and training setups. You know, just little things about giving out tickets to get into the game. You know, you get to the games in St Kilda, you just, well, to prove you're a player because you haven't got a ticket, you know, and you had to wait for someone else to come along that might have known the old gatekeeper to let you in to go and play.
A different era, Scratcher, and a different club and a different time. And it's a great time that you have taken us back to. We really appreciate you giving us some of your time, living life up in the warm climes of the northern states. We'll be jealous of you over the next couple of months while we freeze down here through another Victorian winter. But you had a wonderful career, and you obviously contributed a lot to Footy Post, including locally in Geelong. Obviously, you had a role with the GFL and did some local media. And then, of course, Vic Country and stuff like that. Remember you being heavily involved with that. But great to catch up with you tonight. Night and look forward to catching up with you when you're next time down our neck of the woods.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Have a good night yourself.
We will. Robert Scratchaneal, 200 games in the hoops, 20 for the Saints, and wore the great number 35 that, of course, Paul Chapman went on and wore with.
Very good play he was. The Harmac Holmes pre-game interview.